listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 7th. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Ooh. Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, we're going to start, as always, with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, on to tonight's topic. It's really on controlling our fears.
Fear.
It's a scary topic.
It is.
It is. But I know we were going to kind of get started talking about, you know, what is fear? How do we define that? And then we can kind of delve into where does it come from?
Well, you know, I'd like to really point out, first of all, fear is a really natural thing. It's fight or flight. That's instinctual. It's instinctual in every animal species on the planet. So that we have that naturally ingrained into us. So the thing is then, how do we manage to make it an unnatural thing? And understand natural, like when you're facing something that's naturally fearful, we either run or we confront. The problem is that human beings take it a little further than that. And I truly believe that historically, depending on the era that you're living in or the culture that you're living in, you know, that determines a lot of how we kind of take on or absorb fear. Like religion's a prime example of that, and living in fear of that. So it's whatever kind of cultural environment you're in. And I mean, don't mean cultural by then just race or religion. I'm talking about could be the work environment, the home environment. It could be an educational environment, any kind of environment that is culturing a certain behaviors and attitudes that even unknowingly create fears. Stay in line or there's a punishment. Do this or there's that. And so we take it on by osmosis, and we're not even aware that we're doing that.
Well, and you're absolutely correct. And you say that fear is a natural thing. It's part of that fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And fear is not always a bad thing. You know, fear can help keep us in line in terms of what are we doing. I'm afraid to fall to my death, so I'm going to stay away from the very edge of that huge cliff. You know, I'm afraid of getting struck by lightning, so I'm not going to go, you know, carrying my flagpole through the field on a lightning storm day. So, you know, fear keeps us from doing some stupid things from time to time, but everything in balance. All of our emotions must be kept in balance, and we must be able to stay in control. When fear begins to have a negative impact on our lives,
mm-hmm.
when it begins to affect our behavior in fundamental, profound ways, then it has crept far too much into our perception. And you pointed out that context is incredibly important, where the context of your social group, that kind of, you know, subculture that you are a part of, be it, you know, fundamentalist religion, be it anything, if you can have fear that's either programmed into you by the group, or you can be afraid of displeasing the group. Of course, there's many kinds of fear, but they all come from a natural place in the sense of every emotion has its purpose. The purpose doesn't always make sense on a more enlightened level, though, because we are conscious beings. We are self-aware. We can evolve beyond our instinct, but we must also listen to it. But this, so fear of being ostracized from a social group is a very real thing, but it's not always a rational reason to not do something. You know, if you're afraid of doing the right thing because of what your social group, what the church, what anything might think, that's not a good enough reason not to do the right thing. You know, and I would say historically, a fear of otherness has permeated human societies when it comes to, I think in a lot of ways, the homophobic discrimination that has been, you know, largely mm-hmm. a part of the, you know, historically from the church, that ingrained a sense of fear in that sense that a subculture or a societal influence giving you a fear that maybe you wouldn't otherwise have had.
Well, I think that basically what we're saying is that fear comes from that worry of something being punitive, that we would be punished in some way. If I think something, I could be punished. If I do something or say something, I could be punished. I might not be liked, or I wouldn't fit in, or you know, somebody's going to point the finger at me, somebody will burn me at the stake. And
well, that's a harsh one. I mean, I'm afraid somebody's going to burn me at the stake, too. I mean, I don't think they have a good reason to, but, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, again, it goes with going back to historically and what era you're living in, and, again, what culture. So fast forward to here. I love what you're saying, Michael, because it's, again, that being natural. Fear is a natural thing. It's also a learned thing. Don't touch a hot stove. You mm-hmm. know, and human beings, so a lot of species, not just humans, teach their young about, you know, what not to do.
Right.
Or these are the consequences. Now, being natural consequences as opposed to fear of punishment.
Well,
and I think that what we end up in our culture is, let's just say the North American or westernized kinds of civilizations, if you want to call them civil sometimes, is that we're not going to be good enough, you know, and as you said, we're not going to be measure up, we're not going to achieve, we're not going to be successful, and we're going to fail, and it's that fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear of punishment, fast forward through all these other emotions and experiences to that fear of loss. And it's what do you do with that?
Right.
So that's the ultimate question. What we want to address today is what do you do with that fear if it is over, you know, it's like taking over your life.
Right. Or
it
if
does.
It's
it can.
If it's preventing you from doing something that you need to be doing with your life, if it's preventing you from taking a path you need to take, you know, you sometimes you can feel it in your gut. You can feel an instinctual need to do something that this would be a good thing to do, but your fear of the unknown or your fear of change holds you back from doing that thing.
Yeah.
Of course, everything in balance too, you know, sometimes. Yeah, it's just hard to say in terms of, you know, maybe sometimes there's a reason not to take a leap at that certain moment. You know, maybe I can Try my career in musical theater another time instead of going out right now when things are tough.
Well, now that's a good point, Michael. That's a really good point. It's like, when do you listen to your intuition,
right,
knowing that there's a change coming? You know, I don't like the job I'm at. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like where I'm living. I don't like this. But how do you listen to your intuition or your instincts about when to make that change and when to, you know, advance yourself? Okay, when do I dive into musical theater, you know, and
right,
go back to school? And it's really difficult, and that's what we really need to acknowledge, that this isn't easy stuff.
Right.
It's not. It's really tough stuff about knowing what is a real fear.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are real fears, but
well,
then also what is, you know, something that's just gone awry.
Exactly. And fear can't be the only voice talking. You know, we're all made up of 1,000 different impulses and different motivations kind of coalesced,
yes,
into one being. And you need to listen to all of the voices. You need to listen. Yes, the fear, that might be telling you something. Your mind is warning you. That needs to be balanced with potential opportunity or rational thought. And it all needs to be taken in balance. So we can't disregard our fear. And, you know, we've talked about, so far, we talked about, well, what is fear? There's many different kinds, and it's kind of hard to be boiled down to, but it's essentially you're afraid of pain, you know. If the social group ostracizes me, then I'm going to have an emotional pain. You know, if I touch the stove, it's going to be a physical pain. Then again, you have sadomasochists. I think of both the physical and emotional variety. There seems to be these people that, for whatever reason, they love physical pain. And then there's another type of person that, for whatever reason, loves emotional pain and chaos. And it's a strange phenomena. But nonetheless, fear is essentially a fear of pain coming down the road from either, you know, potential pain or potential uncertainty, which could bring, you know, pain and harm further down the road. Go ahead.
That's huge, what you just said, because pain and pleasure often get a mixed message in our culture. You know, if life is chronically painful, that becomes your pleasure motive. And that's kind of its own addiction. It has to do with the dopamine in the brain and mixed messages and, you know, gets all confused in your brain. So there's this fine line between pain and pleasure. So a lot of people, you know, they need that fix, and to live in fear is all they know, but
mm-hmm.
not wishing to change that. The living in pain, you don't want to change that because that's what you know. And better to control the pain you know than the one you don't know.
Well,
you know, and pain is, peace is painful to somebody who's addicted to, you know, crisis and fear.
This is true.
And all those other emotions.
And here's, I think, why. There is no worse feeling than just total emptiness.
Yep.
Pain, suffering, crisis, chaos, that's something. It feels far better than the void. It feels far better than emptiness and nothingness. So people will choose that because it's what they're used to. It's what fills them with that kind of, you know, emotion and feeling of relevance, of something mattering. You know, these are important stakes. So you bring chaos, you're afraid of what might happen because you raise the stakes to avoid feeling meaningless. But at the same time, we all can rise to the point in our awareness, in our own personal evolution, where we see past that. We see that we bring meaning to our lives. We don't rely on external sources to bring that meaning. And then by doing that, we can help control that fear in ourselves, and we can, if we have grown up in dysfunctional households, I know I have a tendency to at times be drawn to chaos. When you're aware of it, when you can evolve your awareness, you can control for that. And then realizing what you're prone to do, making something bigger than it is, that helps you control fear, because you're afraid of a situation, you're afraid of something happening. And this is, I don't know if this has any other origination, it very well may, so I'll have to Google it, but my father always said fear is false evidence appearing real, and I know he got it from somewhere, I'm sure, but I always liked that, it always stuck with me, false evidence appearing
false
real.
False evidence, mm-hmm.
And You know, of course, there's a few famous quotes. This one I always heard, but I had to look up. You know, do what we fear the most and we control fear. That's a writer named Tom Hopkins. A similar one that I quite liked was Mark Twain. He kind of put a, you know, Twain spin on it. Do the thing you fear most and the death of fear is certain. Kind of has a little bit more of an aggressive tone, but that's another thing. There are always emotions that counter fear, that help you control, help you keep things in balance. One thing, you know, and I'll be a little personal, I've been through a panic attack once or twice in my life, and usually one good way to get through it, to challenge the fear, is with a little bit of anger. You bring that up and, you know, you challenge it. You challenge the fear, you challenge the situation, you say, bring it on, and it helps dissipate it. It brings things back into balance.
Well, I just want to go back, and if we can just cover a couple of things that are coming up in the chat, Michael. You know, Dr. Greg is mentioning how fear generates money.
Oh, yeah.
And that's big in our culture. And again, that references the culture thing and how we tend to do that.
You never want to be the other. You want to be able to conform. Everybody's afraid of being the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Wendy's asked again, fear, does fear make us question our instincts? Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's what? And that'll get you, because fear attaches to emotion that inflames. Can't think straight. Dr. Greg is also mentioning fear, such as which comes with COVID, juices paranoia and panic. Yikes. Now, I would like to address that and what's coming next, because Dr. Greg also says, where there's love, there's no fear. Love extinguishes fear. There's a couple of things I want to just kind of, when I try to say this nicely, maybe there's no way to say it nicely.
Well, if you can't say something nice, then just say it in the mean way.
Yeah, I know. Because I disagree. I think that there are some things, because, look, we're an over-hypersensitized society. Again, that's cultural. And, you know, eventually we wake up and we realize how much is fear. If you don't have the latest, you know, color TV, then you're left out. You don't have the latest technology, you're left out. So, I mean, it's all those things that generate. So finally something does come along, like a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're saying, oh, you should be afraid. And we're all going, yeah, 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 you know. And
well,
so you got to be really careful about deciphering what's truthful and not, and being sensible.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I want to come into, where there's love, there's no fear. I love the notion. I have met hundreds and hundreds of people in my life who believe that love will conquer all, and that's just not true.
If you believe it's true, then it might be true, because you make it so.
Well, then you're living in a bubble.
Yeah.
And you're just not confronting what's real and what needs to be done. Love will conquer all when your kid's a drug addict. No, it won't.
No,
love
well.
Will conquer all when, you know, somebody's broken, homeless. No, it won't. So that's love conquers all notion is out the window for me. But
I thought you meant love conquers all. You know, he prefers Star Trek. She prefers Star Wars. You know.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about much more serious things. I get it.
Yeah, and so I think that love extinguishing fear will have its way with you in another way if you don't confront the fear, such as you have a fear of this, okay, you know, I love that now, and it's not going to make me afraid. Something else will come along and get you. And again, that notion of living in love, what is love? That's a huge question.
Much like, you know, much like there's various types of fear, there's various kinds of love.
Exactly. If you're talking a spiritual love and a love of humanity and having a sensibility and following something like the nine principles of belief, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm with you. And using your, you know, basic rationalizations for things, or, you know, just sensibilities and deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning. So it's, you know, you can find some intelligence to work through issues. I am, what Dr. Greg also says, confront your fears. I love this. And they will flee like a witch on a broomstick. Of course, I love that visual. You know, I love broomsticks. confronting a fear is the key to finding out why you fear it, if there's anything real about it, if it's something that you learned that you can unlearn and replace with good positive behavior. That's huge. But I also think that even, let's say, a woman being stalked by her ex, I am notorious for saying, have no fear. But then I also have to say, what's the worst that's going to happen? He's going to kill you.
Yeah. Well, don't be afraid. Be smart, you know.
Exactly, Michael. Thank you. Exactly.
You have to, you take reasonable precautions. You make sure that you have to protect yourself. You have to be smart about what you do, and you have to, you know, well, I don't know from personal experience, maybe societally, I think that it is, you know, more difficult to be a young woman than a young man, and you have more threats because men are, they're not always great.
I think it depends what color you are.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it, but I think that just anybody that's perceived as weak, you know, no matter what situation,
exactly,
that person is going to be preyed upon by somebody who is looking to prey upon what they perceive as weak. So sometimes it can be nothing but gender. Sometimes it can be, of course, racial. We've seen a lot of, you know, East Asian hate in the United States of late. I don't know if it's reached Canada either, but that's unfortunate. And there's a fear in that, too. Let's talk about that. How much of racism is driven by irrational fear? And,
well, that's all it is.
You know, a sense, you know, trying to, and then, of course, what is, there are many kinds of fear, so there are many kinds of responses to it. Yes, love is a response to fear in certain situations, but one common response to fear is anger. I told you about my experience challenging the panic, bringing a little bit of that anger, that, you know, righteous indignation. How dare I, you know, how dare you make me feel this way, that, you know, talking to a metaphorical, you know, abstract thing such as panic or anxiety, and you bring the anger up to challenge it. You know, you're going to challenge it head on. You're going to plant your feet. That anger is a common natural reaction to fear, and it can be a horrible thing, and it can lead to a lot of pain, because if you, I've always, you know, desperately wanted to make sure that I never take my anger out on someone or something that doesn't deserve it, and a lot of people aren't, well, frankly, they think that their target does deserve it, and that's the unfortunate thing. They don't stop to try to look at things in a broader perspective. They want a scapegoat. They want a simplistic answer. So this simplistic answer, this scapegoat, these people that are being scapegoated, they become a balm for their fear, even if temporarily.
And we're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, we are.
That's for sure. And it's a lot of, and I'm going to say this generically because it's not everybody, but if we, you know, again, look at our westernized kinds of cultures right now, and we're in a pandemic, there's some very real fears, economic, that's massive, housing, massive, you know, for a good number of people. But there are other people who are doing okay. And managing through life, they're, you know, they're still doing their thing, and they, in other words, they have food, shelter, a job, they're doing okay. That's what I mean by it. They're doing okay. But this anger appears to have contaminated people across the board, and it's that feeling of oppression and trying to understand it. They just make stuff up, you know, and then being reactive. And who do they want to blame? So this is the thing about, you know, and fear. It wants to project itself.
And people want to feel in control.
Yes.
And when you have something to blame, whether it's right or not, you feel like you're in control, because they're, human beings have an enormous capacity to lie to themselves. I think it's one of our strongest traits. That's why belief is such a powerful thing. But it, It's all about maintaining balance and maintaining control, being able to maintain control of your rational thought process, being able to stay reasoned, being able to try to see beyond the immediate here and now, to look at the bigger picture, to look at the wider context. Another common tool that I personally used in my life, and this is not my own original thought, this is just a common mindfulness technique, but one thing I do is I feel like there's a lot of pressure going on right now, a lot of things going on at work, the stakes are high, you're afraid of making a mistake, you're afraid of doing the wrong thing. Well, I try to put it in context, like we were talking about a minute ago. Try to picture myself in the third person, then I pull out. I see the whole room, I pull out. I see the building I'm in, I pull out. See the city, zoom out again, see the landscape, the continent, the planet, the solar system, the galaxy. Exactly. Seeing everything in the wider sense.
I'm not from this planet. That's a perfect way to say it. I often do that too, about talking to myself in the third person. I have this dialogue, and on both sides of my brain. I recently found out I'm allergic to eggs. Yeah. Oh, Vicky, you really want an egg on toast? No, you don't. Yeah, you do. Well, that's not good for you. So I got these two voices going on all the time. That's how I entertain myself, too.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is showing at least a tool for controlling fears. Mm-hmm. And that's what we wanted to get to tonight, is how to control those fears. Is you can take a breath, do a meditation, step outside your body for a moment, anything that works. Now, I also say that sense, feel, think, and do formula is, I'm feeling this way, what are my senses of this?
I like it.
And what's my intuition about this? What are my instincts about this? Now, what do I think about this? You see? But once you've just started that wheel turning, you are thinking. And then ultimately to ask yourself, what am I going to do with this? Now, maybe you do nothing. That's fair. But doing nothing is making a decision. And you're free to revisit that. And again, that process. I'm feeling this way. And what's my intuition? You go into that bit of a panic.
Mm-hmm.
I am an avid believer. If you can breathe in yellow, take it to your solar plexus. Here's the thing. Everything hits us in the gut first. That's the umbilical cord. So that's the life. You're fed in your that way, and you continue through your life. So any kind of stressor or fear is going to hit you in that stomach, affects your nervous system. Anxiety attacks come as a result of the electricity going through to your brain and all those endorphins and stuff firing all over the place, right?
That's not true. Anxiety attack happens because something bad is about to happen to me right now. I don't know what it is, but something really bad is going to happen.
That's what I mean, though. But you got to get it right as soon as you start to feel it. Breathe in yellow. Take it right down to your solar plexus. Envision that solar plexus is yellow. And breathe out yellow. What you're doing is pushing the pause button, that fear doesn't get away on you. It's push the pause button. I feel anxiety. I am afraid. What's my instinct telling me here? Mm-hmm. Then it's that, and even doing what you're saying, Michael, step outside yourself for a moment, analyze your environment, look at the situation, and get thinking about it to know how you want to behave. Now you're the manager. So the whole key of controlling fear is managing it.
Absolutely.
And not letting it take over your life, because emotions will do your thinking for you, and they will never be right.
Right. And you can't always run away from fear either. That's letting it run you too. You have to accept it. It is part of you. It is part of life. Just like you can't run away from pain. I mean, you can avoid it, but eventually it's going to come around. So you can't put off something just because it's going to hurt. You can't not do something because you're afraid of it. You have to accept it. Fear is a part of us. It's a part of our lives. It's a part of our experience as human beings in this plane of existence. Doesn't mean it's
Michael,
always a bad thing. Go ahead.
You just said something really huge, and I want to reinforce that. Yes, you did.
That's not true. Go ahead.
You do it a lot, I must say. is that we are all going to have pain in our lives. We're all going to have it. Trying to avoid pain is that one of the, another one of those false belief systems. We don't want to look for pain, but life will have its way with us. Now, whether that's because you get a cold and you don't feel well, or, you know, somebody back ends you at the, you know, at the red light.
Or worse than any of those things, you stub your toe really bad.
Oh, that hurts. Ugh. Or a paper cut. You know, any number of things are going to happen. Pain is going to happen. And what I really try to reinforce raising my children, and now, of course, contributing somewhat to my grandkids, is you manage your pain, whatever pain that is. I remember the most horrendous thing, my oldest daughter, when she had chicken pox, she was six. It was a horrendous case of chicken pox. And I'd put her in an oatmeal bath with the mud packs.
I remember that.
You know, a bit of water. Poor girl. I said, you tell me when to put that on you. And she'd take breaths and I'd said, it's going on you and it's going to hurt. You tell me when. And it was that mental exercise, poor little girl, you know. And then I say, you are allowed to scream. And you scream as loud as you need to. Because if that's the way you need to vent that. And eventually the screams got not so loud, but it was her participating in the pain. And it's being able to determine how you're going to manage that. That's a huge lesson for a child. And she has taken that through her life. And I'm not bragging. I really mean it. She's an extraordinary woman going through menopause now, which is like crazy. But it's how do you deal with that too? She's got her own ways. So it's learning how to challenge pain, challenge fear, and, you know, finding those little tools that work for you to partner with it, that there's no guarantees in life. It's going to happen. But live your best life, the best life you can. And part of that is confronting fear. That's how you live your best life. Mm-hmm. Confront those, the stereotypes and the conditioning that you were raised with that don't work for you anymore. You know, and find ways to partner with the most natural things that we have in our existence, which is instinctual, fear, pain, and so on.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
If you ever see a giant pterodactyl coming at you, it's okay to be afraid and run away from it.
Yeah, run. Yeah, no, I would run. You know, that's the first line of self-defense and self-defense training. The minute you see trouble, run. Hmm. That's all. Just run. And that's... Why would you want to stay there unless
you think you can, beat that pterodactyl up? If it's small enough and you think you can win it in a fight, then you don't have to run, but... It's all a case-by-case basis of, you know, which prehistoric creature is attacking you at that very moment. Yeah, so these things can get complicated.
Well, I must throw this out there. There's a real big chatter going on in the chat room, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. But Dr. Greg says about Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body. I read that back in the 1970s, and it's something not to be taken literal. However, there's a lot to be said. It is a good little book, by the way, how certain things reflect and the affirmations for ailments and illnesses. So that's thanks for that. So I just thought I'd put that out in the air. That's there for our archives. You know, we have come to the next part of our program.
I was just about to type in chat. I think you beat me too. But yeah, we're coming to the next phase of our existence. And that phase is in Oracle Cards and Tarot.
You know, we could talk forever. Sometimes we get on a roll.
I keep talking after I, wrap up the show. Dr. Hunter, I'll talk for a little bit afterwards, and then I'll just talk to myself for another few hours just to hear the sound of my own voice.
To sleep.
But
if I could just throw in there, well, everybody, if you want a card, please put your name in the chat. But Jamil, thank you for that. The wisdom is coming from the universal intelligence.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
I absolutely believe that. I think that if we open ourselves up, the answers come. A greater knowing of ourselves comes. And so I want to thanks for the reminder that we could share tonight with everybody. I don't look at common sense, because if you look at what's common, it's not very sensible.
Well, I was just thinking about this today. It's ironic. I was just thinking about how common sense is so often used as an excuse for something, or for someone to continue a pattern of behavior that the only reason they do it is because they've always done it that way, and people before them always did it that way. Mm. You know, so, common sense is usually thrown out in an ignorant fashion to me. For example, you know, you can't let two men get married. It's just common sense. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Come on. And they would think that's common sense. That's not common sense at all.
The universal sense would say love is love, and exactly. They can do whatever they want.
That's the universal intelligence and the universal wisdom.
So I like the universal or natural sense. That's my preference for talking. When people say, that doesn't make any sense, not universal sense in my world, that's for sure. So anyway, this has been a really good discussion.
It has been. It has been. It's been an interesting way we can look at it, and we appreciate the feedback we've been getting from chat, too. So thank you a lot for that. And, as we go on to our next segment, I believe we do have Dr. Shirley up first.
Dr. Shirley.
All right. Excuse me. Had to mute there for a cough. But I have number 17, reinvention.
I like it.
Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness.
Well, in support of that... Oh, sorry, you weren't finished, Michael. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You wouldn't have known. I just had another cough coming on, so I had to mute real quick before it came out on the air.
I have justice in support of reinvention, Shirley, and... what that means to me is we could take it in a metaphoric way of fairness, equitability, et cetera, but I have this feeling to tell you about documents. Maybe you want to register a business name. Maybe you're reinventing your business or giving it a facelift in some way, adding a new name to it. That's what I want to say. I think there's something really cool about to happen, something that might have been stirring around in your brain. But I want to say, get the paperwork for it. You know, go ahead and register that name, register something. So I get kind of butterflies about it. It's good. I hope that makes sense to you.
All right. Very nice.
Yeah.
And all right. So we have a Canadian expat, Dr. Kevin, so I believe that we will be reading his card in Canadian tonight, so let's see what we have. Ah, wild card number 5, don't hate. That's perfect for tonight, huh? Let's see. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right.
Well, in support of that, Kevin, I got the Jack of Diamonds, and what that is, the Knight of Pentacles in tarot language. And this would, I think, have to do with work, more to do with the workplace. And I know don't hate sounds really profound to say that, but it's really about in any kind of frustration or difficult challenges when it comes to work, then I think that it's just saying, you know, take a breath. Take a breath for a minute, know that this is serving you, you're serving others, and get a perspective, because I think we have to appreciate there's a lot of stressed people these days. So unless something is really big, I'd say just let it roll off. Never mind. You know, don't sweat the small stuff. That's what I want to say to you.
Well, very nice. Very nice.
You know, Michael, before we go any further, I'd just like to throw in here, Dr. Greg pulled a card for you.
I was just about I was just catching up on chat. I saw that.
And apparently it's serenity. And all fear is gone forever, poof, he said. So
well,
I don't know where the serenity card comes, but he's blasting you with serenity energy.
Well, it is much appreciated. I'm going to take that and run with it. So. But no, I was just catching up on some chat, and I saw that too, so thank you for that. And
awesome.
All right, and we have Jamil next.
Okay.
And let's see what I got for you. All right, going from the middle of the deck this time, we have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path.
Let's see. We haven't had that for a long time.
I was just thinking that. It has been some time. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Very cool that I pulled the Emperor in support of that. Very, very cool. You think about the Emperor as being an authority kind of figure, a manager. Of course, I'm making it more fundamental than, you know, the tarot might take it off on. But it's being secure in who you are. So in being who you are and moving forward, let's say, into something managerial, Jamil, or being an overseer in some way, be okay with yourself. And again, sometimes that separation is needed a bit emotionally from others to be able to do your job or to be able to be that overseer. But you can do this, and I think the best managers are the ones who empower others and who are quiet about it. I've met some really extraordinary people who do that so well. So I'm just going to share that with you, that if that helps you at all, that move forward just being who you are and knowing that you can do this. And I feel like there's some good things still brewing in your life too, and it's starting to take action. Awesome.
That's a great message.
Yep.
All right.
Audra.
Audra.
We have Audra.
I have number 36, gratitude. Let's see. All right, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Ooh, you know, I pulled up the page of swords in support of that, and I said, well, what does that mean? And I pulled out the magician. So here's what I want to say is the message here. With gratitude, page of swords, sometimes even a difficulty is a gift. And I know it's so cliche and we hate hearing that stuff, but sometimes when somebody challenges you, Audra, or any of us, it really does make us rise into who we are, that we go through our own transformation. And that's why I'm glad I asked for a little clarity on this, that transformation, that metamorphosis, the magician. And so rather than brewing, and what we're talking about earlier today with fear or anger, you see something difficult, just say, oh, I'm really glad about this. I wonder what I'm going to learn from this trip. You know, so you remove yourself a little bit and don't dive in. So being grateful, even in really stressful situations. But feel free to vent, because I like to vent too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying that there's a learning that happens even in difficult times.
The most fun person to vent to is the person who doesn't want to hear it.
That's true. Now, give me 10 minutes, please. I need to vent.
All right. We have Wendy next, our card keeper. And Wendy, let's see, I have number 19, invoke the counselor within.
All right.
All right, let's see. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
High Priestess, she showed up. So invoking the counselor within with the High Priestess, that's, I feel like that's a witch just about to go through an initiation. It's like, you know, your powers are stirring, Wendy. I like that message that it's tapping into your intuition. I know we've had talks before about sometimes that intuition and fear and other things, you're not sure you're doing the right thing or what's your intuition versus, you know, the emotions. But I feel like you're crossing a bridge, and that's really, that bridge is inside of ourselves. And from here to there, it's making that shift into less emotional, more instinctual and intuitive. Emotions don't have the same power anymore. They don't have the same hold on you. So I think that this is really powerful. It's a really powerful shift that you're in. And I don't know, I'm just going to go with this over this next week or 10 days. I think that you're going to feel that more within yourself and self-trust. Just go with it. And, you know, less fear. So that's awesome.
All right, very good.
That's great.
Just taking
I don't see any more names.
I was going to say, I was taking a look. I don't think we have anybody else, but...
Sure, a lot of chatter tonight. Thanks for the having such a good conversation in there.
Yeah, everyone. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate, you know, kind of getting a, you know, an insight into what you're thinking, you know, getting some of that feedback from the chat, getting some additional ideas thrown into the mix, keeps things lively. We appreciate it, and that's just, you know, less content that we have to think up, so we appreciate you doing a little bit of the work for us too, so yeah.
And you know, we are working on changing our format, everybody. We'll let mm-hmm. you know. It's just the timing of things in life and getting organized, and you know, we'll be able to take phone-ins and other things. So we're
That's
working
good.
On it.
It's going to be exciting.
We think we've narrowed it down, haven't we, Michael, to who we want to use or
right
which
now.
Format?
Yeah, yep. Just the update right now. I'm just working to... Hold on one sec. Sorry, I don't know why I keep getting this dry throat cough. Knock on wood, you know, no disease or COVID here. But I've just been working with a company to see how we can, you know, embed the player and the website properly. But yeah, we're hoping to have some interesting new features, being able to broadcast on multiple, you know, formats, for example, Facebook and things like that are being explored. So some interesting things on the horizon. We'll look forward to revealing it in a, you know, big and flashy
way.
We
have the graduation coming up in May also.
We do. Mm-hmm.
It's that time. And, you know, everybody, it's 10 years at the end of this month that I've been with Dr. Kelly in school and ICMH. So it's 10 years. That's a huge, I don't know, what is that anniversary? 10-year anniversary is what? Not
we,
gold, not silver. I don't know.
didn't we pass the 10-year anniversary already? Like, or this will be the 10th graduation.
This is the 10th, right?
Gotcha.
10 full years.
Well, was it platinum or tungsten? It's probably tungsten.
Probably. Okay. So, yeah, 10 years. It's a you know, a big. That's a big moment. So we've got things to look forward to, everyone. So stay tuned, stay with us, and thanks for joining and participating so much.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you.
You know, it's a highlight of my week. Appreciate the camaraderie, appreciate being able to come together, talk with you, Dr. Hunter, and being able to go over interesting topics like fear, being able to control fear, and hopefully people can take, you know, take something away from this. So we appreciate you. We hope that you join us next week. Don't have a topic nailed down yet, but keep an eye on your email the day of the broadcast. It'll come out to you, and you can see what we'll be talking about that evening. And, of course, it'll be on the archives as well. So look forward to having you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.